from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the
house, I
sing your grace.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. On the day I called, you answered me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies.
The Lord
will fulfill his purpose for me. God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall show forth your grace.
Our special music is a piano duet by Lietta Damp and Renee Clifford entitled As the Deer. Testament scripture lesson is read by Judy Berger, and it's followed by the gospel lesson and his sermon, Pieces of the Rock, by our interim pastor, Reverend Gene Maul.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ, amen. The first lesson is in Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Hearken to me, you who pursue deliverance, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were digged. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. My deliverance draw near speedily, and my salvation has gone forth. And my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arms they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Here ends the first lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, or whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We seem to be living in a world that often runs on the basis of rewards and punishments. Many people have difficulty then with that biblical understanding of God's grace. When we think of grace, it means to us everything that we need for salvation. It means all that our God has done for us in his forgiving love and mercy. But it is not the old American way, or we could say the German way or the Missouri way, because that way often says you get what you deserve. That's what the world would say. And so that then many, that may be carried over into our relationship with our God. There's many people even in the church confess that Christ has died for us. He has saved us from our sins. But we still insist that there's something that we need to do. If nothing else, we say we have to have faith. And faith, if we don't watch it, becomes a good work still required, because nothing is free. But get a look at that first reading for today. In this God-forsaken community in exile, God called the prophet to announce, "Listen to me, the exile is over, and look to the rock, he is your strength. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly, and my deliverance will never be ended." See, what God can accomplish will be forever. And to us, that is a grace note. And so those living in a faith relationship realize it is a gift of God for our lives. The gospel invites us to be pieces of the rock, to live in freedom, to live in peace, to live in security. For many, it's tough to live by faith and not by sight. If we just look at the comic strip called Garfield, at one time he went to the pet store, and mischievous self that he is, he opened up all of the cages in the pet store and he said, "Freedom, freedom, freedom." But the pets stayed in. And the pets were saying, "Security, security, security." Freedom can thrust us into the unknown, but it also calls us to a future, as this freedom is grounded in God. The gospel calls us in a faith and life that is grounded in that freedom. It is sustained in that faith through our worship and hearing his word. And we are called to then live a life in that faith. See, Peter and the disciples were faced with that question, "Who do people say that I am?" You heard some of that right down here a few minutes ago. Well, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's pretty exclusive company. Impressive indeed. But the zinger really comes next. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter boldly steps up and says, "Well, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is the answer that Jesus needed to hear. This is grace. And we begin to realize here that salvation will live forever. Now we sense there is something we can do, and that is to say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this gift of grace. For this gift of faith that can accept him as Messiah. We can thank him for becoming pieces of the rock upon which the church will be built. And to thank for the mission our God calls us to live. Live as we live in this grace, faith, relationship with God. There's been a long debate in the church over the rock on which Jesus says, "I will build my church." Some contend
that it is built on the person of Peter and the office that he represents. And it can lead to a hierarchical institutional church headed by bishops and cardinals and popes. And others will argue that the rock is not the person or the office of Peter, but it is Peter's confession of faith. Confession in the Christ. That the faith is the rock on which the church will be built. Perhaps it is both. And let me tell you a story this morning about a bishop and a janitor. Several years ago, a bishop from the church to which I belong was asked to be the grand marshal of a parade in his hometown of Litchfield, Minnesota. And he actually be riding on the streets that his father once swept as a street cleaner. Well, he said he would do it, and he would accept and appreciate the honor even more if, and here's where the story takes an interesting turn. See, street cleaner Wally had two sons. There was Bishop Herb. He was head of a large church body and influential nationally and internationally. He was very positive in his office. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. But the other son, Dave, is one who never left Litchfield. He was a janitor in a nursing home that was located there. And he had a birth defect. And he was left with challenges in his life that would not allow him to move beyond certain ceilings in school and church and society and business. He needed help in keeping his affairs in order. But Dave needed no help doing his job as a janitor. He would work sweeping floors, emptying waste baskets. His job was supplemented by his Christian faith. And those things made Dave a celebrated person in Litchfield. The bishop said when he comes back to his hometown and walks through the nursing home with his brother, he was proud to show him his place of work. And the residents could care less that he was a bishop. Instead, they would care about people, and particularly about those who play a part in their lives, like the bishop's brother Dave. Dave lives out his calling as a Christian in that place, always a smile on his face. And he calls the residents by name and he serves them, some for whom no one else cares in life. And he makes an old man and an old woman feel like he or she is the most important person on earth for those few minutes, as he would joke with them and tease them and laugh and sometimes cry with them. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. That bishop understood in the long run the kind of care and love that really illuminates the Christian faith in this kind of setting. I mean, he knew of the care and love in an administrative office in a tall city building. But as a man of faith, he also saw how in the disabilities of his brother, he would see his brother as a giant in God's kingdom. And so perhaps both sides of church debate are right. The church needs leadership people like the bishop. And the church critically needs those who confess Christ in the way they live their lives, day by day, often in small, we would say, ways. So the bishop said, he would be the grand marshal. But it would be a greater honor if his brother could ride with him. So Herb and Dave rode together down the streets that their father Wally had cleaned as a street sweeper, both grand marshals of the parade. A bishop and a janitor? Yes. Brothers? Yes. But even more importantly, brothers in Christ, understanding Christ's call to faithfulness, each in their own way. We may sweep continents with the word as bishops do. We may sweep floors with a broom as janitors do. Or we may be called to some other office in life, like a student, an engineer. It could be a farmer or a factory worker or an athlete or a homemaker. Christ still looks for these rock-solid places to build his church. You might be waiting to be rich or powerful before you offer Christian witness. You might be waiting until you have some high office in this congregation before you commit yourselves to a meaningful way in the health of the church. After all, we'd say the member of the consistory is more important than someone who cleans the floors. Oh, really? Ah, Bishop Herb and Brother Dave would be surprised to hear that. They would argue that the most powerful Christian witness in one person to is one person to another. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate or change from the human touch. That smile of friendship. However many people a bishop may touch, a janitor in a nursing home has equal opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And that is because of Christ. We also are asked, who do you say that I am? And our answer is the same. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in living that answer, we too are given the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom is open to us, and it is opened wide. Whether we be bishop or janitor or something else, we are called to live our lives in a way that will cause the kingdom to grow and radiate from us. Maybe we could be more like Dave, or more like Herb, or maybe both, recognizing that the greatest human achievement is loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. This is faith in action. Not center stage, but in the midst of life. For this faith we say thanks. And with it we find ourselves as pieces of the rock, graced and gifted by our God, living out the answer to the question, who do you say that I am? Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Strengthened by the Spirit who gives us words to speak and hearts that care, let us bring our hopes and needs to God who listens. Lord of the Church, remind us that though we are many, we are one body in Christ. Teach us to use our grace-given gifts with generosity, compassion, and humility. When we see people in need, help us to be bold in reaching out to them. May we never be timid in sharing your word and saving grace for their lives. O Lord, hear our prayers. Caring God, your Spirit blows over all the wild places of this earth, reminding us who is in control. As the wind blows and the rains continue to fall, reach out to the people in need affected by the hurricane in Texas. Give them comfort and safety. And stretch out your caring hand over them as they face a future that may be uncertain for them. O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the leaders of our nation today and the many important and critical situations they face. Give wisdom to our president and the cabinet members and members, men and women of Congress. We pray for our military personnel stationed around the world, especially those in Iraq and Afghanistan and other troubled areas. We know that they face dangers and the possibility of death day after day. O Lord, hear our prayers. Compassionate God, there are many among us today with special needs in their own lives and need your special touch and reassurance right now. There are numerous physical problems, and we don't understand why these things come in our lives, and we're tempted to question you, and our faith is tested, sometimes to the limit. But we pray that their faith will not fail during these days and bring healing and reconciliation to the sick and ill and all in need of your care. We especially also ask that you remember the family of Marie Koble as they mourn her passing. May you bless them in their days. O Lord, hear our prayers. Faithful God, we give you heartfelt thanks for the faithful service of those who have died and now rest in you. Continue to build your church upon that strong and enduring foundation as we remember that they also said you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We lift our prayers to you, God of mercy, confident that all things are in your hands. We pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.